Praise the Lord. I'm going to start down here. And the reason I'm going to start down here is I'm going to share something that happened with me when God called me. And I've shared it a few times, and it was like the Lord, when I came back from outside, I was talking to a couple that was going to leave, and I could not let him go until I said goodbye to him, and we got to pray with each other. Amen? So, I want to start with, it's a vision. It started with a vision. I was in my living room, and I went into vision. And all of a sudden, it was like I walked into like a waiting room, like a doctor's office. And I was looking around the room, and I could see these people in different states and conditions. I remember putting my head down and going and sitting down and trying to hide myself. I had this overwhelming feeling within me that if anybody looked at me, that favor that God has put on my life since I was born was going to burst through, and I would get to be the next woman to go through that door, even though I didn't know why I was there. I didn't understand what was taking place in this vision. And so I was sat down like this. I looked for a magazine. I couldn't see a magazine, but I could hear footsteps coming toward me. I could see the door, and I looked around, and I saw all these people that it would be like this room. You're all waiting for God to tell you something. But I didn't know this was about God. I remember sitting there, my head was down, and the door opened. And when the door opened, a man walked in, and he was all in white, and he walked in, and I had my head down because I knew that if I looked in his eyes, I would be chosen. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever gone somewhere and you knew that there was something about you that if you looked in their eye, you would be chosen? Have you ever seen somebody start to pull a name out of a bag and all of a sudden it dropped in your spirit that they were going to draw your name out and it was about to embarrass you no matter what? I used to do that. I mean, I just knew my name was going to be drawn, and I already was looking around to see whatever I was just gifted, who could I give it to? Because I had such incredible favor. And I know why I had incredible favor, because he was counting on me to put it in the right hands. That's what that all was about. He trusted me. Anyway, there I am. I got my head down. This man comes in the room, and all of a sudden I heard him say, "Nancy Haney." And I lifted my head. And when I lifted my head, I looked up, and he had a glass clipboard, and you could see right through it, and there was nothing on it. My name wasn't on that clipboard, but he was looking at it. And I went, "Oh man, I just felt horrible because somebody else deserved to go." I was getting in my life, at that station in my life, it was getting to where it was, if people travel with me, they'll tell you, she has got so much favor on her, doors open that never open. I'll go into countries where they'll get, I mean, I've told you, I went to the Israeli embassy capital, and you're not allowed to go there unless you go through all their screening. 3 months of screening before you get permission, a license to go there. They just look me in the eye and they let me go. I've had accounts in Greece, in Spain, and Rome, and places where they would it's just not going to happen. And the minute they look me in the eye, they go, "Well, let's work it out." Happened over in Hawaii. I went to a heiau. You're not allowed to go there. A man said, "This place is closed. You can't go there. The water table's coming up." And I said, "All I wanted to do is go there and pray." And he looked at me, and God just changed his heart like that. And he said, "Not only that, I will take you there." Gave me a tour of the whole plantation and took me to the heiau so I could pray, the oldest heiau in the world on Maui. And I got to go there and pray. Because it used to be used for human sacrifices and many, many other things. So I know there's favor on me. I know I was born with favor. That's just the way it is. I was born in a heathen family. And unfortunately, most of them, addictions, alcohol, one has died because of it. Others are very sick of it. I mean, I'll tell you, I was the only one in the family that God set apart, consecrated, and sanctioned that I was not going to go that walk. And that was a hard, tough lot in life. I was different. Favor. I would go door to door in every neighborhood. We moved every year, maybe twice a year, maybe three times a year. And I'd hit the neighborhood and I'd just go down the street and I'd look to find me a little old lady that I could know, knock on the door and say, "Can I ride to church with you?" That's just the way it was. But here's this call coming down the pike. I had no idea what was happening, but this was to change the course of my life. And I remember when he said that, he said, "Will you come with me?" And I got up and my heart was sickened that I may have taken something from someone else. And I never want to do that ever in my life. And I remember I was following him and I looked and I saw these wings coming out of the back of his white coat. He was an angel. And as we're walking, he shuts the door and I look down this long, narrow hallway. And there's doors with windows about this, just a little bit that I had to go like that to try to look in the windows. So I was snooping as I'm walking. I'm starting to get a little bit comfortable. And as I'm walking, all of a sudden he turns to me and he says, "Do you want to stop and look through those windows?" And I said, "What are those windows?" And he said, "Nancy, that's your whole life. Every one of those windows represented something in my life." You know how God is storing up on us? And I started to look, and I thought, no, that's not what I want to do. I want to go to the door. And this long hall, it was like I couldn't see the end of it, but all of a sudden, boom! This angel and me went right to the door, and that big door, and it was an ancient door, and it began to open up, and the light was cascading through so bright I just didn't think I could see. And this was about the most terrifying moment of my whole life. I have nothing to compare to it. And all of a sudden, he reaches over, he grabs my arm right here, and he says, "Nancy, I can't go any further with you now. You have to go by yourself." And he just disappeared. And as I started to walk in, I looked down and I saw the Lord's legs and I dropped down like this. I went, oh God, I thought surely I was about to die. And I had my head down and I could not see anything but his feet, his legs, and I could see a shadow. And I had my head down, I went, "Oh God, I'm gonna die right now." And I heard the pulling of the sword out of the sheath. And all of a sudden, I saw that sword coming down. I could see the shadow of it. And when he brought it down, I could tell it was coming down sight or like this at first. But just as it touched my right shoulder, he tapped me like that. I still did not look up. I was weeping. I was crying. And I said, what did you just do? What had just happened? And he said to me, "What no man could do. You'll soon find out. You'll soon find out." And that has been what's been going on in my life ever since. That was when he set me apart. He knighted me. I didn't understand what it was, but when she said that my husband, I had already been ordained as a pastor. And I only did that because I was in a denomination that didn't believe that women should be in ministry or teaching men or whatever. I believed it too. I believed it too. But our pastor came to me and said, we want to, you know, they're going to ordain my husband. They said, "We want to ordain you as a pastor as well. You're doing the job. You're doing it more than your husband has been doing it. In fact, for Henry, you'll be like an Olympic coach, and we pray he'll listen to you." Because I'd been traveling all over the world in so many different churches, so many circumstances. It was just incredible what God was doing to take this very simple woman from the sticks of Alaska and start sending me around to be before people of great prominence that would come to me in the middle of the night, like Nicodemus is in the night, and want advice. That's what's been happening in my life all over the world. And so with that, why should I be shocked that the top 20 communist leaders of mainland China have a meeting and say, "We want Nancy to come in and be the first woman to speak and do a conference, a woman's Christian conference, and speak about Jesus freely." The first woman since the Boxer Rebellion to come into mainland China and do that. And I have permission to go in and out anytime I want. And there's a lot of reasons why that favor was put on me. But it changed my life. I waited to see what was going on. I know that the church, I agreed to let them ordain me as a pastor because they wanted to change that denomination. They wanted women to start stepping up in their callings. But because of this religious mix-up of women being in leadership, you know, men and women were having a problem. But how they presented it to me was I had such a good reputation, they thought I could pull it off. That's how he said it. And we must have talked about 2 hours back and forth. And finally, I said, you know what? The only way I would agree to this is if this is what my husband thinks I need to do. He's my covering. And Henry said, I thought we were being ordained together because I'm not doing this by myself. We're a team. We're one. And I'm not hung up with all that nonsense. And so that's how it started. And then later, God visited my husband and said, Henry, it's time to ordain Nancy apostolic. She's going into all these countries, and I want it done. But see, God already did it. What no man could do, he did. All the rest of this stuff is for labels and people to try to understand. And in our community, our pastors, our head pastors, our charismatic pastors in Anchorage, our top churches, they were very, very excited. They said it should have been done a long time ago. But meanwhile, I just want you to be sitting there listening to this story because you may be just like that. And you're sitting there and you have gifts in you and God has ordained you already from heaven. You were born with those giftings and you're just pulling back, scared to death like I was, shaking in my boots, but God has a plan. Now, I'm talking to you women right now, but I'll tell you what, it's for you men too. See, I don't play church. I don't play church. Sunday school and church on Sunday is not where it stops with me. It's my life. It's a lifestyle. When it says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit's going to come and the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to convict us of sin, I know exactly what he means by that. He's going to convict us of our unbelief. What's wrong with the Church of America? We don't believe. What's going on in Israel? They don't believe. And we're getting spanked and our walls are being shaken. He says, wake up, Christians. Do you believe? Do you believe? Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Let him turn your mind around. Let him teach you what we're going to be talking about in these next 3 days. Let him teach you what he has taught me. Amen? Let him teach you who you are in him. Amen? You're valuable. You're important. You're alive today because you're not finished. Think about that. You are alive today. A lot of you have had many close calls. A lot of you in this room, there are many times you could have died and you did not die. God thwarted the enemy's plans to kill, steal, and destroy. And you're here today. Why? We have a purpose of purposes. Amen? So, I shared that opening with you because I wanted you to know you're getting the real deal here this weekend. Bring your friends. Get encouraged. Be blessed. There, if I can get audience with you, if you let me look you in the eye and you don't give me the fake stuff, but you let me see your heart, I will show you or tell you what God is saying about you. And I won't tell you any new news. You will be convinced you already have heard it. Because he already put it in you. I'm only going to confirm it. Amen? Praise God. And it's not because I'm running around here and I'm some big general. It's because I am a servant of servants. She said, we don't take a wage. None of us takes a wage. God takes care of us. We travel all over the world. We minister to people. I love to minister to people that, just like I said, those little kids, only one of them had ever been in church. All those other little kids, I mean, they didn't even know it was a foreign language, but they were so caught up in it. So they were so fresh. I've got to do that. I've gone across Canada into Indian villages and did that. I've been up and down the Kuskokwim, 52 villages, and I've got to be a part of that. I've been all over Southeast Alaska, and the Alaska Natives, the chiefs, I mean, they loved me so much, they gave me a name. It's called Tatia. And Tatia, you know what that means? Light shining through a basket all over the world. Amen? They didn't just give me a name. They gave me the name of their leader and called me the mother of the Tlingit Indian tribe. Amen? Now, I humbly pray that you understand what I'm saying here. I am not bragging. I'm telling you, if you walk in love and you believe with purpose, God is going to use you. He will trust you. Amen? He'll put you in places where there were times where I just didn't understand why I was getting so much favor. The reason was, is I'm the real deal. Amen? That's it. That's the bottom line. Just be honest. Walk in integrity. Amen? Walk in love. If you don't have love, you can teach good, you can do this good, you can do that good, whatever. But if you don't have love, I'll tell you, you're a clanging bell. Amen? Amen. So that's how we're going to start. Please don't be offended. But if you're offended, you take your offense to God and let him work it out in you. Amen? Okay. You've got a word this year that's about to, well, actually is finished. This is the last one we're doing. But the year 2015 has already started. America says it starts 1st of January. Israel says it starts the 29th of September. I already know you're the word for this year. But I have to finish the course on 2014 for y'all. Amen? So I will go back to last year on September 4th or 5th or whatever, and I was in Atlanta, Georgia. I just finished a 2.5-month ministry. It was a busy ministry all the way. We prayed the northern border. We went to Israel, prayed the Israel border. And I'll tell you, there was a reason God had us do that. We did the west, the east, the north, and the south. And then he says, now get on a plane and go to Israel and pray their border. And we did. And I will tell you, I believe that where we were headed before we prayed those borders got averted. Because God said it was all about the breaches in the wall. But God loves America. Remember last year I come and told you, God says, if you want to pray for the peace of Israel, learn how to pray for the peace of America, and you'll understand how to pray for the peace of Israel. Amen? He said, the one thing I have against you, America, is the way you pray, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's like that. Instead of that. Amen? I mean, he said, there are prophets across America that are putting words in my mouth and cursing my saints by saying, when they say this, this is what it means, and it's a curse on America. The Lord said, that's not true. And why do you think, America, I would punish you the same as I punished the children of Israel in the Old Testament? I challenge you on that. Why? Because we're under a new covenant. Whoa, I don't know how we're going to get spanked, but it's, you know, we think we got it all figured out. We don't. But I tell you this, God loves America. His heart beats for America. Amen? He assured me there's a lot of nonsense going on, but I'll tell you, a lot is being exposed. He did a shaking. He did a rattling. He did a rolling. And America's been turned upside down. And when God gives you a word and he asks you to do it, you better do it. Or you'll be sorry you didn't do it. Amen? You'll miss out the blessing of the return. Amen? So there I am in the Atlantic Hotel, getting ready to, I'm by the airport, I'm getting ready to go get on the plane to go back to Alaska, and I'm going across the foyer of that hotel, and the Lord says, write this down. Write this down. And I go, Lord, what's going on? He said, it's time. Write this down. He said, Nancy, you're going to hear a lot. You're going to hear all over the world that this is the year of the sound of the trumpets. He said, that's true. That's true. He said, you're going to hear that this is a year of the door, according to Israel numbers and et cetera. And you're also going to hear this is the redemptive salvation year. 2014, redemptive salvation year. He said, those are all true. But I tell you, this is the greater truth. He said, this year, 2014, is the year of the sound of the Lord. And he said, I am going to be so loud, we're going to be forced to deal with our integrity, forced to deal with what side of the fence we're standing on, because that you're not going to stand in the middle anymore. He said, you're not going to go to and fro anymore. You're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to be with me, he said, or are you going to be with him? There are only two masters. So I'm standing there in the foyer, and I'm writing down what he's saying. And he said, the first word I want to give you is the word alliance. I said, alliance? He said, alliance. America, oh America, and around the world. Do you understand what the word alliance means? Because if you don't come into alliance, if we as a church do not start partnering with our brothers and sisters on the right and the left, our church is going to be torn asunder. We're not an island into ourselves. He said, understand, a coalition, it's a pact, it's coming together. It's where parties disagree, but they decide to agree for the common good. America's looking at the Christian that is so torn apart. So many denominations, so many theologies. I mean, you start a church and they believe this, and a few get upset and they go over here and start a church, and then somebody in there gets upset, they start another church, and we got these churches all across America. I'm so confused. And I am. And somebody like me that travels all over and speaks in all different kinds of denominational, non-denominational churches, and you got to listen to them, and it's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. We need to pull together to bring our church back into alignment with God. We are so out of alignment. We are so worshiping our theologies, our religious thoughts. Our children are going off to college, and guess what? They're going off to college, and they got the form of godliness, but no power within. They don't know who they are. They don't know the power that is in them. And so they get off to college, and they get ripped to shreds from the pastors and from the other kids. There are so many kids across America that don't even know who Jesus is. My husband is a professor at the college. And he is constantly having to work not only with the kids, but the other professors. And a lot of them are really free thinking. I'm not going to go there, but what's the free thinking going on across America right now? The kids will come in, they'll challenge him about different things, the things that are passing all over the world, all over the United States. And he say, they want his opinion as a pastor. He'll say, Do you want the answer constitutionally, or do you want the answer morally? That usually shuts them up. That makes it very personal, doesn't it? Alliance. Alliance. Oh God. What do we want to talk about? Go with me to Joshua. I love Joshua. He's such a type and shadow of Jesus. Amen? Here's a picture. Here's a picture. Joshua is on the bank. He's sitting on the bank of the Jordan, pondering, thinking, pondering. Behind Joshua is probably about 3 million people waiting for him to finish pondering. He's on the other side of the river. And I could just imagine on the other side of the river, they got the spies watching them. Look at those Israelites over there that have been wandering around in the desert for 40 years, and they think they're about to come over the river. Wonder when they're coming. And Joshua, he's on the other side, and he's just pondering. He's waiting. He's waiting. You want to know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for the sound of God. Because up to this point, God talked to Moses. And Moses laid hands on Joshua and set him in place that he would be the one to take him over the river. And here's Joshua waiting for the true strategy. Have you been waiting for the true strategy? How many of you want to know God's direction? Let's be honest, we all do. We all do. It's like, I want to get off square one. I've been running around this tree, this mountain, whatever, forever. I want the true strategy, Lord. Who am I? What am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to go? I'll give you two hints. You're ministers of reconciliation in Jesus Christ. You're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Amen? There you go. There you go. It's powerful if you believe. If you believe, if you're willing to care about them out there that are lost in a dying world. You know, I spoke to a couple tonight that, you know, they said this was a little bit different for them. They'd not been to something like this. And I said, yes, I know what you mean. I came from a very structured, very very conservative church, one of the most conservative in America. And I said, God changed my life. And what the Lord says is, I'm going to send you out. There's other folds beside this one. You're of another fold, Nancy. We all are. Amen? Amen? Who told you you had to stay in the confines of the wall and you couldn't do anything, go anywhere, whatever? Who told you that? When Jesus gave the assignment to send you out. Amen? There are other foals out there. There's other sheep out there. Did you see my sheep up here I brought? See these sheep? You know those sheep love me. Look at them. Look at them. They're smiling. You know why they're smiling? Because they don't get sacrificed anymore. I'm Yuppie Skippy. I was in the mall. He was just smiling, and I said, I got it. Amen? You know what? You want to know something? The ultimate sacrifice was done for me. That's why I don't need to be afraid. I've learned the fear of the Lord is my confidence. No matter what. And it didn't happen overnight because I had to learn to trust him, just like him. I love you, Nancy. My little fold back here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's go back to Joshua. He's leaning on the banks of the Jordan, and I've been on the banks of the Jordan many times. I've swam in the banks of the Jordan. I've been in the water. I baptized people in that water. I swam to the other side. I was in Jordan, and they're yelling, get back over here. You don't have your visa. We laughed. We thought it was funny. We were getting rocks from the other side. And then pretty soon they said, there's poisonous snakes over there, man. I was like, back to the other side very quickly, very quickly. But to just imagine that Joshua, you know, was there one day and he was getting ready to complete what Moses had started. And there he is and he's waiting. And listen to what happens. And remember, he's waiting to hear the sound of the Lord. How many of you are waiting to hear the sound of the Lord? How many of you have heard him talk? Praise God, a few of you. Well, I'll tell you what, how many of you got the unction that he was giving you something, that you know he was directing you? Come on, be honest. Haven't you had those unctions? You knew that had to be from God because I don't have the info on that. It just is there. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So here it goes. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. There it is. You guys get to see and hear and read Moses' first encounter with the voice of God. Isn't that exciting? And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you guys, but what he was about to tell him in a nutshell is, you just need to quit being a fraidy cat. You need to quit being a fraidy cat. How many of you are afraid to really go out and tell people about Jesus? You afraid you're going to die? I asked you a question. Yes or no? Are you afraid to talk to people about Jesus? Have you ever wrote out your testimony? If you've never written out your testimony, write out your testimony so you know who you are in Christ, so you're instant in season, out of season. That's how I choose these people that I get to take with me. The Lord says, tell them to write a testimony. And I'll read that testimony, and when they go on trips with me, I know what's in them. I know what could be drawn out of them. The Holy Spirit gives me remembrance of who they are, and I know how to use them. I'll know that Georgie Porgy over here needs to hear that testimony. I know that Mary Sue over here needs to hear that testimony, because that's what it's about. That's our ministry. Amen? It's about relationship. Isn't that true? Hallelujah. Most of the people in here that you know me, it's been about relationship, hasn't it? Just getting to know each other and know where our parameters are. And all of our parameters are around the Lord Jesus Christ. Correct? Hallelujah. So, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Moses, saying this, Moses, my servant, is dead. I remember when I read that the first time, I just had to chuckle. I went, duh. Of course he's dead. That's why Joshua's pondering, what do I do next? What do I do next? The 3 million people are waiting for me to tell them what the next step is. God, you got to talk to me. You got to help me. The Lord's saying, be quiet and listen. First lesson, wait on the Lord and let him renew your strength. Amen? And he heard his voice. First thing he says is, Moses is dead. I mean, how would you like that? Already, God has got his number. He says, Moses is dead. Now, therefore, rise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel. That's the first thing he said. Do you want to know something? That's what he's saying in this hour for us. He's saying, trust me and go. Don't worry about what's going to come out of your mouth, because I'm going to fill it. We are so wrapped up in this mirror in front of us. It's like, this is it. Hot air, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Okay, here it is. Bring it on. Here it is. Yes, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. Yes, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. Well, get out of the way and do it. Amen? We just keep looking at ourselves. And what do we look at ourselves? I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can say it. I don't know if I have the courage. I don't know if I have the boldness. I don't know if they ask me some questions, if I can answer them. Get ready. Prepare yourself for the defense of the gospel. Amen? Keep it simple. Kiss. Keep it simple. Amen? He goes on to say, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give it to you. God said, read this to you guys tonight, because he says, if you take this message serious, everywhere your foot goes, guess what? That's your land. Amen? And when you lift your foot up, the Holy Spirit is filling it with living water everywhere you go, so they can lap on it and drink on it after you leave, until they get strong enough that they're leaving footprints. Amen? Do you know how real that is? I'll tell you how real it is. You go over to a country in India and you minister like we ministered, and you go back the next year and you look and see they've already moved on. They're ready for the next step. Amen? I mean, the first time I went over there, they sent the top dog to Alaska. I had met him some time ago in another church. He remembered me. He kept writing. He kept calling my husband. He said, will she come to India? Will you ask her if she'll come to India for maybe about 3 years? No, 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 no. That's what the Lord kept telling me. No, no, no. You can't go. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. You know, I need you to go here. I need you to go there. And I'm only listening to the Lord. And a lot of time, that confirmation is through my husband, because God is speaking to my husband too. I don't do anything without the covering the Lord and my husband, period. No more discussion. But I'll tell you, when he came over and he went to my husband and he said, Henry, can you talk Nancy into coming to India? she'll be the first woman ever to do what we're asking her to do in that upper part of India. There's never been a woman come up there and teach. They've never allowed them. But we think that she can do it. We think she can draw the women back into the church, because the women, when they hit 18 years old over there, they leave the church because they feel like all their responsibility is to have children and raise them. And they wanted me to come over there and help them. So they called this conference together. I finally agreed to go over there. I knew it was God's time. I got the okay. And I went over there. And it was powerful. I mean, when I first met them, 400 plus women, 400, 500 women, some of these women were with me. They wouldn't even look me in the eye, would they? They'd go around like this, you know. And by the time that we left, they had to protect me because they just were so loving. And I'll tell you, it wasn't just the women. Remember when we left, the men were running after our cars, sobbing and crying, tears going down the windows of our car because they didn't want us to go. They were so excited. So we go back the next year, and about four or five of the main leaders of all these churches, and today there's about 750 churches. And when we first start going, it was 400, and they're just multiplying like crazy. But anyway, when we got there, the girls all went shopping, but I stayed back at the complex that we were staying at. And they came back and they told me that they ran into one of the pastors, and they said, you know, we really didn't want Nancy to come back this year. And I don't remember if it was you or who it was. And they said, why? Well, because after she left, we had a hard time controlling our wives. And so when I met with them, I said, you know, what was the problem? It's no problem now. I said, well, what was the problem? Well, after you left, they started doing women's Bible studies. They started having prayer groups. And they're growing. And they couldn't control it. I said, isn't that why you wanted me to come, is to encourage them and bless them and teach them to do that? Well, yeah. I said, so what's the problem here? There's no problem, Nancy. Of course, we've been back there, you know, two or three more times. You know, I've been over there 4 years. We're going into our fifth year. And I'll tell you, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. It's exciting to see that growth and that return. You know, my prayer whenever I go into places like that is, Lord, I don't want them to remember my name. What I want them to remember is you. I want them to know to go into the Word. I remember one, I don't know if it was the first one or the second one. I think it was the second one we did. I mean, I was getting ready to speak, and the Lord said, stop. You need to do some house cleaning. And I said, what? What's going on? And I mean, we're talking 500 women, right? I said, what? What's going on? He said, they're all sick. They all have some kind of infirmity, and they do. The water's bad over there. Diabetes is a big problem. I mean, I'm trying to think of a lot of the problems that they have over. People are just so sick over there, and the water is so corrupted. A lot of many, many, many babies die. Well, anyway, I remember. Where was I going? Pardon? Oh, yeah, the healing with the women. You know, there was only supposed to be 400 that came. Over 100 of them came over the wall. Those women walk for 3 days, some of them, to get to these meetings. And they try to rotate them. Not all of them get to come. Maybe 100 or 200 of them get to come back, but the rest, they go into different geographic areas to help them get there. So anyway, I just stopped it. When I'm up on a big stage, by the way, they built this place for us to do these conferences. It's huge, and they've finished it. I mean, we have sowed so much finances into wells, and the deal is if we put a well in, you got to let the community have the water. You can't keep it to yourself because it's like gold to them. So we put wells in. We've built churches there. We got churches all over the place, and those churches are schools during the week, and then churches during the weekend. I mean, communities are developed and built around those schools. People bring, because when we build a school or we build a church, what we do is we also pay for cows for milk, chickens, put a well in. And I mean, the next thing you know, you got a community moving in from all over, living around there, because that well is providing life, living water. Amen? Not only the water from the well, but from the church. It's just really exciting. And the man I'm involved with, he's also involved in bringing young men in from all over and putting them through a school. He teaches them how to do a checkbook. He teaches them how to cook. He teaches them how to play an instrument and to sing, how to write a message. And by the time they go back into that village, the village is prepared. They've built the church, and the ministry builds a church for them. But they say, you've got to try to stir up the funds to pay for this young pastor when he comes back. And this man, Tony, he will also help find a wife, a good, proper wife. You know, they're like, you know, they do those. I don't totally agree with it, but it's okay. Anyway, so those women came, and they were all sick, and I walked to the edge of the stage, and I said, okay, God wants to do some house cleaning here. And I said, every one of you that is sick, I said, I'm going to come down. My team is also going to go through the crowd. We had a good handful of team members. And I said, I want you to put your hand on where you're sick, where your infirmity is. If it's mental, put your hands on your head, your eyes, your ears, your heart, whatever it is. If it's a multitude, do the exercise, okay? And I was moving off the stage, and the crowd was, and my team was moving in from all different directions, because our ministry team for the medical, they just lay everything down and go in and support us. And so they're just spreading everywhere, spreading out in teams of two. And by the way, most of them cannot speak English. So the team is going in praying in tongues, and they're getting healed. And I remember there was a woman that was just glaring at me, maybe about that far away from the stage, maybe about the third row. And I remember I went after her. I was going after her. And I got down there, and she put her hands on her eyes, and I prayed for her eyes and whatever. She didn't say anything. Well, she was 99.5% blind. Guess what? God totally healed her to see. Totally healed her. But this testimony is even greater than that. There were every kind of healing you could imagine. I think it was 490 people, it is recorded, were healed that night. 490. And I mean, they went across the stage at the end of the conference. They didn't tell me what happened till the end. There was one woman that came, her mother was in the hospital dying, and she'd come to stand in the gap for her mother. And on Sunday, she walked her mother across the stage, totally 100% healed. I don't exaggerate. These are true stories, aren't they? Every one of them. And I mean, Sarah Tarter was traveling with us. She's our worldwide prayer person. She's going to be on a Skype with us on Saturday night. You'll get to meet her. But I mean, she was writing down as fast as she could, because we had an interpreter was telling us. There were two women that came there, that they came from a village where somebody got in and poisoned the water they did have, and all but three children died. All the children died. And she came in there. One of her children lived, but all the rest of her children died. And she came in there so that she could get something encouraging and positive to take back to the village. And she got it. I couldn't believe she was there. One woman came to the conference, and she had to walk many, many miles, but she was going to miss the train. She hadn't walked fast enough, and she was as wide as she was tall. And she got up there, and she said, I have bad knees. It's like bone on bone, she said. Do you remember this? And she said she saw the train. It was at the station, and she just started running. And she ran all the way, and they held the train for her. She got there, and she said, you want to know something? My knees are healed. My knees are healed. I have nothing wrong with my knees. There was no indication of bone on bone on her. Now, those are just the ones that I can just think of right now. But can you imagine 490 testimonies of healing of cancer, from liver problems to diabetes to... But the one with the eyes, she didn't want to be there. That's why she was mad. Her pastor of her little church, where she had to walk so many miles to get there, she was mad. She had to go. She couldn't even see me. She's there. She couldn't see me. She could just hear my voice. And she got up there, didn't she? She just said, I was blind and now I see. Amen? Amen? So that's going out and doing what God requires of us. Look at what they're saying here. He said, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, the land which I've given you. He wants to give you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to bless you. But I want to tell you something. He also said, every place that you go, place the sole of your feet will tread upon you. I have given you, let me say it again because I'm very anointed right now. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, says he said to Moses. And he said, I'm saying it to you. He said, I'll be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. He asked me to highlight these because he wants me to say them to you. He said, I will be with you and I will not forsake you. What is God calling you to? What is it you're supposed to be stepping up into? What is it you miss that God is bringing you around the mountain and he wants you to shoot you out to finish your task? He said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. For to the people you shall divide an inheritance of the land which I've sworn to their fathers. Look what he's doing. He's already talking about what he's going to do for them, and they haven't even gone over the water yet. Amen? That's what he's doing to us right now. We haven't got to heaven yet, but he's already dividing it up. Amen? He's preparing the mansion for you. Amen? He goes on, only be strong and courageous that you observe and do everything according to the law. He says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. God is saying this tonight to you. Don't look to the right or the left. He wants to prosper you. Amen? He says, make this your scripture now, today. Make a choice to believe. Amen? He goes on again, wherever you go, you will prosper. And then he goes on to say, don't let the law depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night. You will make your ways prosperous, and you will have success. Look what he's saying to us. This is the strategy. You want the direction and strategy? Here it is, already written. Have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Don't play around with it. He's saying it's not a multiple choice here. I'm commanding you to be strong and courageous for me because my son was strong and courageous to go to the cross for you. What more can you do for him? Amen? Just to be obedient? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't forget that. Amen? Anyway, he goes on to say that. And then he asked me to share with you, and I want to take this to a different level. Ponder Joshua this week, the finish of this week and on into next week. But he wants me to tell you a story. I love to tell stories out of the Bible. But this story is in chapter 10, and it's a great example of negative alliances and positive alliances. We know that Joshua was obedient to take the ark and go across the Jordan, and when he goes across the Jordan, when the priests stepped their feet in the water, I don't know if you know this, but the water picked up and went back. It went back to a city. That it's amazing. God took great effort to make sure the information got out about where that city was and the time and the culture and the water levels at that time. It was a phenomena because the water lifted up and went all the way back to the city of Adam, the beginning. Because there was a new beginning about to take place going over the Jordan. And God wanted that in the records, and it is in the records. And then they do cross over. And you know, they got to get prepared. And one of the things he said is, while they were wandering around the desert, they didn't do any circumcision, so we need to get that done. Ouch. Ouch. He even provided the eucalyptus trees to get under them for the healing while they rested up. I mean, what a time. I mean, that would have been a perfect time for the people in over on the other side to take them out. But God protected them. Then they went against Jericho, and he told them, when you go to Jericho, he said, this is the deal. I want you not to take any of the pillage. It's going to be a wave offering me. After that, you can have it all. But this first time, don't take anything. And so, up to chapter 8, and what happens in chapter 8? Ai, and there is a crushing blow to them because they're being successful, and all of a sudden they get crushed. 3,000 of their Israeli soldiers got killed, and it was a small fortress. They should have taken it without a problem. Here comes Joshua to God. You know, they're having conversation now with no problem. And he goes, why did you do that? We do that all the time, don't we? We have a problem, we go, God, why did you do that? Why did you let that happen? I mean, it's like we wave our fist at him, you know, our finances are bad, or people are sick, or somebody hurt you, or you experience rejection. You're going, God, why? I mean, we blame God. Why did you let that happen? Well, here is Joshua doing the same thing. Why did you let that happen? You know, they're going to say, oh, he took us out of Egypt, out of bondage, and brought us over here so they could kill us. He was upset. And that was when God, and I'm paraphrasing all this, by the way, but God is saying, hey, why don't you check out your camp? Somebody kept some goods. What did I say about Jericho? Somebody kept some goods. Of course, you know the problem with that and how it was dealt with. And, you know, yes, that leader was in sin for what he did, keeping the pillage and hiding it, the family all knowing that they had it. And, you know, there was a great severe punishment over that, death, in fact. But you want to know something? You know who God was disappointed with? Joshua. Joshua learned a hard lesson. He learned about a true alliance, and that is this. If you walk with God through Jesus Christ, you need to be checking in with him. That's what Joshua did. He missed it. If he would have got with the army and he would have got with God and asked the true strategy for Ai, God would have told him, you got an enemy in the camp, disobedience in the camp. Before you do anything, get it cleaned up. But see, once we get it, we're like rote. This is the way it goes. This is the way it goes. And God says, I'm fresh and new every morning. What about you? What about you? I mean, it was a hard lesson for Joshua to learn. But Joshua began to walk in total alliance with God. Partnered. Partnered. Amen? So we get up to chapter 10 of Joshua. And this is an interesting story. This is the story where the sun stood up in the sky a very long time. Amen? And the sun still stands. And what happened was, you know, just to paraphrase it all, here's a king that sides with the Israelites, and these other five kings are sick and tired of the Israelites and what they're doing, and these other five kings, they're bad. And they don't even like each other, but they decide to form an alliance. They decide to form an alliance. Why? Because when you have something for the common good or bad, you need partners in your crime. And so these five bad kings got together, come up with a divisive plan, and decided to go after the supporting kings and then go after Israel. Now, the rumors got to Israel, and this weak king said, hey, this is what's happening. You know what Joshua did? He went to God to get the true strategy. Not only did he go to God, he went to his men, and they formed an alliance with God and prepared themselves for battle. And when they went to battle against five kings and all their armies, it was a wicked battle, let me tell you. But those five bad kings ran up and hid in a cave. Now hold that thought. Hold that thought. They're up there hiding in the cave. And Joshua has told them to go up and rock it in. Don't let them out until the battles are over. Okay? But now step over here with me. When God sent me around the borders of America, there are some things that God has told me specifically. And one of them was when I was down on the southern border, before I went down there, he said, I'm going to introduce you to the five strongholds and even six over America. I said, really? Well, I had already been just devastated on the western border, what he told me, and I was still licking my wounds on that. When he said that about the southern border, I was up for the charge and the call. And I'll never forget this. When we started that southern border, he started telling me the strongholds over America, the five kings over America. Number one is the warring stronghold over America. And listen, you can challenge me any way you want, but I'm going to tell you that there is such a warring spirit in our homes, in our church, in our government. We've got such a warring spirit going on in just the common workplace. Have you ever noticed it? Just you can't just have peace? Everything's fine, and all of a sudden there's a war going on in the workplace. All of a sudden there's a war going on in the church. Over the stupidest things, people get offended. Mm-hmm. But that is the number one stronghold over America is a warring spirit. We just can't seem to get along. America can't seem to get along with itself. Number two, it's because of that spirit. The second spirit is the spirit of greed. This stronghold is so strong, it's infiltrated the church. And there's such a spirit of greed that influences and affects all of our decisions and everything that we try to do. Greed rises up and ruins it. Think about it. We should be the land of the milk and the honey. We started out that way. But look at what's happening. Number three is the religious spirit. That's the stronghold over America. And it's in the marriage. It's a religious spirit. The way the husband treats the wife treats the husband, the lack or the lack thereof. It's that religious spirit. Again, it's in the church. I'm addressing the church. That religious spirit rises up and it's like, holy smokes, you're in my chair. This is where I've been sitting for 5 years. Isn't that stupid? But that's what goes on, you know? Or a religious spirit about who's on the worship team. A religious spirit about who's teaching Sunday school class. A religious spirit about what color the carpet is. But I tell you, that religious spirit is in a marriage. And the way that the husband wants to control the wife and the wife wants to control the husband. It's all about manipulation and the religious spirit. And it just moves through everything. That religious spirit rises up in the workplace. And it is in our government. You see it? Do you see it? And then the fourth one. That is a mystery spirit. And that mystery spirit is clothed in darkness with a hood. You can't see its face. And there's a reason why. Because you don't know where it came from and you don't know where it goes. And that mystery spirit is addictions, sickness, disease, you name it. And it seems to come in clumps. You know, I remember when I was over there in India, you know, I was just devastated because we went to a mall there and there was this net that went across about the third level up. There was a net that went across and I thought, are they going to have a trapeze artist or something? That's what it looked like. And they said, no, what's happening is the kids are coming off the street, going up about three or four floors and diving off and committing suicide. And they're doing it in China. They're also doing it in China. They keep it quiet. You know, America's the only one that has problems with their kids. And these other countries don't like you to know what's going on in their countries with their kids. But it's going on all over the world. That spirit is all over. And I'm telling you, that mystery spirit, it comes in, and you'll have a clump of friends over here all dying of cancer. And all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. Where did it go? Over here, people doing suicide. Over here, you'll see accident after accident after accident, and you're wondering, what's going on? Well, it's a mystery spirit. Addictions, you know, it's like brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, all of a sudden they're fooling around or they're gambling or they're doing drugs or whatever. You don't understand. How did it happen? They're a Christian. They know better. What happened? He left his wife, ran off with an 18-year-old. What happened? It's a mystery spirit. Where did it come from and where did it go? It's just like the spirit of the wind, the ruach. Where's it coming from, and where does it go? Well, Satan's a counterfeit. He's a counterfeit. Amen? The fifth one is lust and perversion. Lust and perversion. And I want to tell you, I am ashamed of America right now. When I drove the borders, some of the banners, some of the billboards that I saw, it was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how truck drivers could drive. Some of the banners I saw in Florida on the highways, I could not believe what I saw. Up in the northern portion, up north. I'm telling you that spirit of perversion and lust, it's in the TV, it's in the media. I mean, it's like you can't even buy clothes that you don't want to sew it up here because it's gapped clear down here. I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm going to be leaning over praying for people. I don't need to tell them what I have or don't have. Amen? I don't need to advertise that. It's not even about that. Amen? But it seems like we've got to wear the pants. The boys got to have their little thing back there showing, and women got to have their thing up here showing. What's the problem here? And why do we allow it to happen, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas? Why is it we go into Sears and Penney's and our little girls have got these clothes that is showing half their body that shouldn't be exposed? Where's our integrity and where's our dignity? Amen? What, you know, I'm not old-fashioned. I'm not old-fashioned. That's not what it's about. But I'll tell you what, I feel like I need to be a lady, and I need to present myself in a way that I don't have men looking at me wrong. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to wear something, and he looks, and I go, whack, what are you looking at? You know? I remember this young pastor, he got up and he spoke in that manner. He said, you know, I'm just having a really hard time. If you're not going to give it, don't advertise it. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you, 3/4 of the church left that church because he gave that message. They didn't like it. Okay? So, that perversion and I could go into other things that you go, oh, my gosh, she's got me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put you on a guilt trip. That's not my job. But my job is to say we need to be praying because these spirits are operating in America right now, and you wonder why you're being manipulated. You wonder why we got so many problems. But see, we're just sitting here doing nothing. It's like we're laying in bed, and the enemy comes in and says, move over, and we move over and let him go to sleep with us. That's what's happening. Why aren't we making a voice? And I'm not saying get a gun and go take care of it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting on your knees and praying. I'm talking about getting with other believers and starting to speak about righteousness for righteousness' sake. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm serious about being a Christian. I'm serious about what I say. If I'm not, then I'm a hypocrite and I shouldn't be doing this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I felt guilty. These shoes I have on, that's some kind of fur or something on there. And I went, I didn't even feel it until I put them on tonight. And I've had them for like 2 months. I'm going, darn, what a hypocrite. You know what? The soles of this probably made out of an animal too. What am I thinking here? You know what? Whatever. Anyway, do you see what I'm saying? We're just taking everything at rote and we're not paying attention what's going on around us, what we're eating, what we're watching, what we're reading. Amen? Let me test you. How many of you read this daily? This is your life source right here. And I can tell you, I'll tell if you've been reading this Bible. Because you know what happens to you? It's like when Moses went up on the mountain. Kabod. That's the weightiness of God. The light and glory of God, that word gabab. And the Lord says, how much do I weigh in your life? How much do I weigh? I said, Lord, what do you mean, how much do you weigh? How do I know how much you weigh? You're bigger than life. I don't understand what you're saying. And he said, Nancy, when you asked me into your heart, how much did I weigh? The weightiness of God is his glory. Have you ever heard it that way? The weightiness of God is in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. But the weightiness of God is his glory. How much does he weigh in your life? I mean, when you were a baby Christian, you were heavy with the glory of God. It was like anybody could come up to you and say anything to you, and it did not offend you because been there, done that. I used to be like you, and I love you, I love you, I love you. Full of compassion. Full of compassion. Now you're 50, 60 years old, and let me tell you what he says about you now. Am I mean? No, I'm not mean. Say no, Nancy, you're not mean. You're just telling the truth. That didn't sound like conviction there. Look at this. I mean, this shook me to my core. This is the loveless church. The loveless church. Revelations, second chapter. To the angel of the church of Ephesus writes, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know your work, your labor, your patience. You're so patient. and that you do not bear those who are evil, and that you cannot bear those that are evil. Excuse me. When I do that, I'm so annoyed. It's like, Nancy, read. Okay. You cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered. Did you persevere here? Mm-hmm. You persevered, and you've been patient, and you've labored for my name's sake, have not become weary. But nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. That kebab, that glory, that precious glory of God in us, that illuminates us. When I said, I can tell if you've been reading your Bible, it's because when you spend time with the Lord, it shines through. That's God's glory. And you want to know something? Every time you read out of here and you say, use me, Lord, he's going to set you up with a divine appointment so you can reproduce that word. Amen. Reproduce it. Yes. Amen? I don't know if you guys are ready to sign up and enlist with me, but we need to be in God's army out there doing the work of the Lord, because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? You know, I think this little town here that we're in, this MacArthur or McCallsville, I just think it's the sweetest little town. I think it's kind of a retirement town, because I see, you know, I don't see very many gray-haired people in Alaska, because it's pretty hard up there. They get up there in those 70s and 80s, and they're ready to go to Florida. And they move, and they're like snowbirds. You know, in the summer, they'll come back because they love the fishing. The summer's in Alaska. But in the winter, they go somewhere else. And it makes me sad. But he says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do first the works, else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. I said, Lord, what are you saying there? And he says, oh, but you have fallen so far. The only thing that I can think of that I could fall far from is my compassion I started with, to my place over here where I learned to be a good judge. And from there that I just loved everybody, and I understood because that's where I came from. I came over here, and I did get impatient, and I started judging, and I started looking at, why aren't you doing this? And I'm not judging the babies out there. I'm judging my brothers and sisters who I'm out there with my sword just fighting, you know, and the dragons are coming every direction. It's, where are you? Come out here and pick a sword up. Amen? Because the enemy's going after our kids. The enemy's going after our government. The enemy's going after our church. You know, whenever you see a good leader, guess what? Within just in a real short amount of time, they're physically being attacked. The enemy can't get him, you know, in other ways. So next thing you know, he just kicks you. And the next thing you know, you're limping, you know. And then all of a sudden, you feel a, and all of a sudden, you got a toothache or whatever. Or you're like me. I start having strokes. But God got it lined out. Amen? God got it lined out. Why? I live to do his good pleasure. How about you? When you quit doing his good pleasure, go ahead and write out your will. If you want to just quit and not work for him, that's why you're alive. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Maybe it's your grandchildren to come. By the way, the world is not going to end here pretty quick. We still got a lot of work to do. And there are a lot of people out there. We really need to get in their face and love them. Encourage them. There's a lot of gifts out there that God is saying, go out there and stir that gift up. Stir them up. Stir them up. Are you feeling stirred up tonight? Have you ever heard a message so powerful? Isn't it powerful? He's saying, I want you to form alliances. This battle that Joshua had, I'm going to go back to it. Back here with Joshua. Joshua won the battle. His men won the battle. He says, go up there to that cave and bring those five kings down. Brought the five kings down. And this is very, very interesting. And this is where we kind of draw a line. But you know what Joshua did? He smacked them to the ground. They're down on the ground. And he tells all of his generals, put your feet on their neck. No, I don't want to put my foot on his neck. Joshua says, put your feet on their necks. Okay. Oh, yeah, this is good. Yeah, let's take care of this. You know why? Because the enemy is under our feet. Why aren't we afraid to put him there? Why don't we put our foot on his neck and say, enough is enough, leave my kids alone. Do you believe that you can do that? Yeah. I guarantee you, this next year, 2015, I've got some tools that God said I'm going to let you put them in. I'm going to let you put them in their hands. And those tools are going to be so powerful, I can't give them to you tonight. I think I'm going to be able to give some of them on Sunday if you come to church here. I believe I will be able to get, I'm on the mat with the Lord. Please let me leave something with them. Please, for 2015, please. But I tell you, God says, put the enemy under your feet. Form alliances. Get together with people that are praying. Form alliance with your spouse. Quit fighting with your spouse. When she says, let's pray, why don't you pray? Do you want to know something? When they take this chair and they say, Nancy, get in that chair. We want to pray for you. This happens every time. I'll sit down and people will start praying. And the Lord will go, that won't come back void. That won't come back void. That won't come back void. He's saying, when you pray, do you believe that it won't come back void? Amen? So get ready. Get ready and look around the room and see who you're willing to form an alliance with, who you're willing to come in agreement with in a prayer group and start praying that God will start changing things. They're not going to change if we don't do something. The Lord is up there waiting for your hands and your feet. He's waiting for you to open up your Bible. He's waiting for you to see things that have already been said and done. There isn't anything in this world happening that hasn't already happened. There's already an example of it. He's already given you a way to pray if you search it out. And I'll tell you, it will not come back void. Form an alliance with God and believe for the best. That gentleman that I prayed for tonight, when he left, he turned to me. He said, I have to tell you this. The best is yet to come. Do you know that that's what I say all the time? The best is yet to come. Because Jesus said that to me personally. Amen? The best is yet to come. Do you believe that? Amen. Listen, you guys, you have been patient. It's been an awesome night. I want you to consider this. Let me see if I can find it. I wrote out a prayer. Let's see if I can find it, or I have to go back to just whatever. Oh, another word that I want to give you with this alliance is circumspectively. It's in Ephesians, actually. When he gave it to me, I woke up in the morning and the Lord said, Ephesians 5:15. I want you to look at it. This is what I want to leave you with tonight. This is the last thing I'll share. Form an alliance, you guys. Ask God where you can form that alliance. Start with Him first. Amen? So 5:15. What would you do if you woke up and the Lord said, I'm going to give you a new word, circumspectively. That's not even in my vocabulary, okay? Circumspectively. I went, okay, I wrote it down. And Uta Looney was with me when this happened. She watched me work through that. Circumspectively, is that even in the Bible? I didn't find it right away. But I said, Lord, what does circumspectively mean? And this is what He said. We take so much for granted. If your pastor says it, it must be. If your husband says it, it must be. If your child says it, it must be. How many of you have a child that gets in trouble in school and you always believe your child? You know what I'm saying? Okay. So, circumspectively means walk around the issue completely. Walk around it completely. Look at it from every side so you have a greater understanding of what you're doing. I have a brother back here that sells shoes. He's a shoe salesman. Guess what? He circumspectively looked at shoes. He can sell those shoes. I bet there are car salesmen that can do a very good job because they have circumspectively completely looked around that car and know the ins and outs, the positive and negative. And when a family comes in, he knows what car that family needs. Amen? That's circumspectively. But look what it says here, because, I mean, I did find it. It's walk in wisdom. That's what it is, circumspectively. Walk in wisdom. See then that you walk circumspectively, not as fools, but as wise. This is verse 15 of chapter 5. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I can't put it any better than that. Our times are evil right now, and we need to walk around our circumstances that are around us circumspectively, find out what God is trying to show us, get the true strategy, get some good walking shoes, because God wants you to use your feet to take back the ground, take back the land. Amen? Examine your heart, because if your heart's not right, you need to repent so that your heart, the land of your heart's clean, so he can use you to minister. Amen? Amen? Take a look at yourself circumspectively. I mean, sometimes self-analyzing, it is pretty good because you can see the pro and con. You can see yourself. But then go to your spouse. Tell them to take their best shot. Amen? And if you're willing to do that, I'll tell you what, you will be blessed. You'll find out. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he just seemed like a really, really nice guy. And I just looked at him and I said, when's the last time you, and he was a young guy, he's only 30 and got three kids. I said, when was the last time you told your wife why you love her? Gosh, he said, I don't do that. And yet, for us women, that's the most important thing we want to hear. Why you love me? Why do you need me? He said, I've never thought of that. I said, do me a favor. I'm giving you an assignment. Find three things that you can say why you love your wife and tell her. Then write me and tell me what her response was. He was so excited he couldn't see straight. I knew it was going to be a big test. I knew it. He was a worship leader. You know what? He was so involved in himself. You know, David did that for a while. He got so involved in himself, he made mistakes because the mirror was in front of his face, and God showed him how to break that mirror. And he could hear the shattering when he did it. And that young man, when I said that, I went, he said, what's that? I said, I just broke the mirror you've been looking in. Amen? Circumspectively. Hallelujah. So, I think I'm just going to close in prayer here. I did. I wrote this out this evening before I came. Here it goes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over the house. Lift up your right hand. Father, I declare right now that, Father, that you would release favor on my brothers and sisters tonight. Holy favor upon them. All that believe that, Lord, you can do that. And you will not do that with any restrictions, but pour out your holy favor upon them. Father, let them say, thank you, Lord. Father, pour out your godly favor that everywhere you place them, favor will fall upon them. They'll be like E.F. Hutton when they walk in a room. They'll want to know where they came from and what they have to say. Father, open doors for my brothers and sisters, Father God. Take them into a new place. Father, stir in them to read the Word of God every day so that they can be placed and positioned, Father God, to be used mightily in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, bless them. Bless them. Bless them completely. Let your light shine through them like a basket all over the world. Open opportunities for them wherever they go. Let it be like the store that you set in front of the electric door. Everywhere they go, their hearts are like an electric door, and it opens up. And Father, they have just a minimum amount of time to speak your word into their lives to change them to the direction that they're going. Father, I pray that you place a hedge upon them, around them, Father God, that you that you protect them, Father, all their comings and going. Lord, you said your word would not come back void, whatever I say. Father, I pray the enemy cannot get beyond that hedge. Father, give them time to contemplate circumspectively where they're at and where they're going, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Father, whatever the representation is in this room, the churches that are in this room, that, Father God, each one will take a new stand wherever they go. They stand erect and that they're a pillar in that church. And, Father God, they will make a stand that people will go, wow. I need to read my Bible more. I need to talk about Jesus more. I need to be a minister of reconciliation. I need to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Father, make them realize, Father God, stir them up. I know that, Father God, you're a gentleman. You don't make anybody do anything. But, Lord, this prayer, I ask that you put it on their heart to go home and examine their hearts tonight and say, Lord, I'm ready to sign up. What is it you want me to do? And Father, let them know what they can do. Because we're all different, many, many parts, members of this body. And we all have different gifts. Some have this, and some have this, and some have this. But we all have Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. And Father, I finally say this. Let not one walk out of this place with just a form of the holiness. But the power within. For such no man will turn away. Amen? Father, bless them as they drive home. Bless them and encourage them. Anybody, Father God, that needs prayer, let them come forward because there is a house full of intercessors and we can all pray for each other and it will not come back void. Don't leave this place tonight if you need to get prayer. Trust God in the team that I've brought with me. They're awesome and they listen to the Lord and we want to pray for you. Amen. Don't let any excuse, don't let the enemy keep you from the altar. Amen. It's going to be a good night. We're not finished. God bless. Love you. Amen. Let's give God the glory. Hallelujah. You want prayer? Just come on up here and line up. Just line up. I've got teams that are going to come and pray for you. Come on, teams. Come on up here. Don't be shy. If you just want a blessing, just come and get a blessing. Don't leave without them laying hands on you. In fact, Paul says, I long to lay hands on you to impart some gift for the body of Christ. Amen? Come on up here. Praise God.